Well, good morning to you again. I've got another announcement to make to you. Senior Patriots is over for the year. Amen. Somebody told me that they heard it on the radio. So I just thought I'd better let you know that we had our last Senior Patriots yesterday. And it went good. Amen. We will resume in the fall. First Saturday of November, but we had a really good time yesterday. Brother Morgan preached for us, and awesome message, done a really good job, and he's going to be preaching for us again here in just a little bit, so that's going to be a super blessing to you this morning. And then we had some singers with us too, and let's see, what was their name? Does anybody remember their name? The who? The Williamsons, yes. I knew that. They've done an awesome job for us as well. They always enjoy having them here, and especially when I can remember their name, amen. And also, we've got with us this morning. I saw Cheryl here this morning. I told her that's 2 days in a row. She made it to Senior Patriots yesterday. And so that was a blessing. So it's good to see you again this morning, Cheryl. So anyhow, if you open your Bibles to the book of Jonah, meanwhile, the preacher's not here this morning. Pastor Carter's off again this morning. So we're going to try to finish this up in the book of Jonah. And open your Bibles, go to chapter 3. I believe we quit about verse 10. So we're going to finish up there, and then we'll look at chapter 4, and we'll be through with the book. So before we get into that, we're going to do just a little bit of review. It's been a couple of weeks, and if you're like me, you need all the review you can get, amen? And every time I look through this, I find something new, so I know you will too. And I also gave you a few things when we started, so I'll give you that again. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. If you're teaching a Sunday school lesson with children or anything later on, it'll be a help to you. There's four chapters in the book of Jonah, and then amongst those four chapters, there's only 48 verses that make up the entire book. The name Jonah means dove. He was a prophet, man of God. And the key verse in Jonah is verse chapter 1 and verse 3. We talked about some of his attributes, and I think most of us can apply some of these to our life. And his attributes was he was unfaithful, he was disobedient, he was proud, he was stubborn, he was cantankerous, and he was a Hebrew. I think you'll find most of us fit into that category pretty well, don't we? And I told you there were seven miracles in the book of Jonah. We've already gone through four. We'll see the last three today. And the first one was in Jonah 1:4, God had sent a storm. And then in 1:15, he ended that storm. And then in chapter 1, verse 17, he provided a great fish or whale to swallow up Jonah. And then in chapter 2, in verse 10, he makes the fish to spit Jonah up. And then number 5, he made a plant to shade Jonah. And that's in chapter 4 and verse 6. Then he arranged for a worm to eat the plant. That's in chapter 4, verse 7. And then God arranged for a scorching wind to blow. And that was in chapter 4 and verse 8. So that'll give you the basic information that we had previously talked about in Jonah. Now what I want to do is just go through the chapters right quick. It won't take but a few moments. Now in chapter 1, God gives Jonah his commission, tells him to go into Nineveh. And, you know, for some of the modern folks, you can say he sent him an email, amen? That's how we get all of our information today, right? You know, sometimes I think we miss out a lot on the Lord because that's all we look at is emails and text. You know, sometimes if we would look for something from the Lord rather than something from Facebook, we'd probably do a lot better. But He gave him a commission. He gave him some orders, told him what to do. You understand that God did the same thing for us in Matthew 28, in verses 19 and 20. We call it the Great Commission. So just like Jonah was given orders to go into Nineveh, you and I have been given orders to go into the world and spread the gospel. And it's important that we remember this as we move through the book of Jonah. Well, instead of going into Nineveh, Jonah decides he's going to run from God. He wants to get away from that. So God sends out a great storm, and then the ship is about to be sunk. The ship he got on to run to Tarsus, and God sent out a storm and got him there. And then the mariners were afraid, and they tossed Jonah out of the ship and into the mouth of the great whale, and the whale swallows him up. And at the end of chapter 1, we move into chapter 2, and then Jonah repents. You know, he reaches very, very bottom, as low as he can go, and when he does, he cries out to God. And there's a lesson learned right there. You know, folks, no matter where you're at in your life today, no matter how bad, if you're out in radio land, no matter how bad things are, if you'll reach out to God, God will hear you. You know, we want everything to be the way we want things to be, and we turn to everything, everybody, but God. Do you understand that even today, as bad off as our nation and the world is, even Russia and the things it is doing right now, if it were to reach out to God in true repentance, God will hear you. And that's something to keep in mind. That's a good lesson that we learned from the book of Jonah. You know, sometimes, I mean, I've been in a situation where I felt sometimes like I'm all alone. Well, we're not alone. We got a God that loves us. And God's always in the same place. He doesn't move. It's up to us to make that decision to reach out to God. And, you know, it's kind of, my daddy told me one time, it's kind of like an old wood potbelly wood stove. You take an old wood stove, and in the wintertime, it can be 0 degrees, and you can sit in front of that old wood stove, and you know what you're going to do? You're going to freeze to death. If you want to get warm, what do you got to do? You got to put wood in that stove, right? You have to make the decision to take the first step. You've got to put the wood in that stove. Once you put the wood in that stove and light it, that stove will give you heat. And it's the same way with God. God's right where he is. We've got to reach out to God. And when we do that, he will change our lives if we'll allow him to. So Jonah decides to pay that in which he had vowed to God. He decided that he's going to be the man of God that he's supposed to be. And he's reached out to God. He's repented. He's telling God now in chapter 2 that I'm going to go do that in which you told me to do. So the whale spits Jonah out back up on dry ground. And then we moved into chapter 3. And Jonah's given a second chance when we get over here to chapter 3. It says in verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." You notice God hadn't changed his mind. God had still got on his mind. He still had Nineveh on his heart. He's wanting Nineveh to repent. This is a heathen nation. But Jonah is getting a second opportunity to go, and he does. He is going to go in chapter 2. We're going to find out that Jonah does go to Nineveh. But I told you a couple weeks ago that he's going, but he's going with an attitude. You know, and we can read this, and we'll say, well, I don't really see it in that. We're going to see the attitude. And the problem is today, many, many of us carry that same attitude. Let me just give you a little example. If you've got 50 people working in a company, even in the church, let's say we got 50 people employed right here in the church, and somebody is moved. You know, we don't really call it promoted around here, but let's say somebody is moved to a different position. You can have half a dozen people upset because they weren't chosen for that position. Why would that be? You know, you're to do whatever it is God has got you doing. Whatever that person's doing has got nothing to do with what you're doing. But at the same time, people would be angry. You see, that's that attitude. That's the sin nature of man. You know, we're depraved, and everybody wants everything. But that's what we're going to see in Jonah. Well, we can see the same things in ourselves. We're always wanting something that we don't have. You know, the Bible tells us that the eyes of man is never satisfied. It doesn't matter how much you give them, they always want something more. And I promise you, folks, if you'll take these lessons that we've learned through Jonah thus far, because there's so many, the book is so rich. It's such a tiny book, and it's so simple, but there's so much here. But if you would apply this to your life, it'll change your life. It'll make you so much of a better Christian. Instead of walking around, because we all walk around with attitudes all the time. My wife told me, she didn't send me an email. I'm not good on the email thing. But she did send me a text. And she said, I feel like I'm living in the, what did you call that? What kind of zone did you call that you said you're living in? Twilight zone. She said, I feel like I'm living in a twilight zone. And I thought about that for a moment. And when you go out into the public today, I don't care where you go, people are just like zombies. They're walking to and fro with no care, no concern about anything. Time means nothing. They're just going like robots. And time really means nothing to them. You know, the majority of them don't even have a job anymore. They get free money, free housing, free food, free everything. They don't have a concern, and they're just walking around like zombies. We have gotten so far away from the truth, so far away from the Word of God, that these people don't have a clue. I mean, we're at the doorstep of the tribulation period today. I mean, we're right here at the doorstep. I mean, any moment the trumpet could sound, snatch us right out of here. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. And when I look at the world today, when we go out to supper, and you feel dirty when you get home. It's sickening. All the filth and what you see that's going on in public. And if it bothers me, can you imagine how God feels about the situation? But another thing that we learn about this, through Jonah, as bad as everything is right here, and same way with the city of Nineveh, it was a wicked, evil city. But God still loved those people. And today, when you turn the news on and you see what's going on over in Ukraine, you see the things, the war crimes that Russia is committing against them. I mean, these people have no care for anything. And that's where we're at today, and right here in our own country. Now, I know we look at that and we say, boy, there's some wicked people. And all at the same time, how many babies did we kill yesterday? You understand what I'm saying? Now, where is the church involved? Why is the cry of the church not above that? There should be a cry across the land. That should stop. Come voting time. How can any, I don't believe anybody voted for Biden myself, but if they did, I did see a thing on Facebook where somebody said that a couple of people voted, but there was some people missing from the loony bin. So that might be too, I don't know. But folks, we have become so wicked, and we've become so used to it that we think, we look at Russia and we talk about how bad they are. And we're just as bad, just doing it different ways. We're killing millions of innocent babies, but yet we want to save the whales. Save the whales, kill the babies. It's that same attitude. And that's the attitude that Jonah's got right here going into Nineveh. Remember we talked about it. Why did Jonah not want to go into Nineveh? What was the problem about him going into Nineveh? Jonah was, he's saved. Just like you and I today, we're believers, we're saved. Well, if we didn't want to go into Nineveh, why? Why would we not want to go to Nineveh? It'd be the same thing as me asking you, well, let's go to Russia, and just like Brother Sinclair was just praying for Putin. Well, that's what we ought to be doing as Christians. But now we can have the attitude that I like to see God just strike him down. That's the attitude Jonah had about the Ninevites. See, rather than going in there and doing what God asked him to do, God asked him to take the gospel to the Ninevites. But that's what God has told us to do in the Great Commission. We're to take the gospel to Russia. That's what we're supposed to do. But just like Jonah, rather than doing that, our first thought of mine is, let's just blow him off the face of the earth. And I'm not saying it would be wrong to do that. It wouldn't hurt my feelings. But at the same time, how does God feel about it? See, we forget sometimes that those people, as wicked and as evil as they are God's creation. And God don't want them to go to hell any more than he wants you to go to hell. The difference between them and us is that we're born again. You know, think about something, folks. Before we got saved, we were no different than they are. You know, you say, well, I didn't go around killing people. It didn't matter. You were still an enemy with God. We were wicked. And then you hear people say, well, they deserve to be killed. What do you and I deserve? Let me ask you this. Do we deserve heaven? None of us do. So it's by God's grace that you and I are born again and going to have part of the throne of God. It's because of God's grace. And that's part of the lesson that Jonah's learning here. Jonah's like us. He's a slow learner. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm slow to learn. I'm stubborn and cantankerous, just like Jonah. You know, you got to prove it to me sometimes, you know. Prove it to me, prove it to me. Well, that's what God's doing here. He's proving it to Jonah. And that's for you and I, that's for our benefit. Because we can look at the story here, we can see what Jonah went through. We can see how he reached rock bottom in the belly of the whale, and we can see how God still reached down and pulled him out. When he finally cried out to the Lord. And you know it'd be the same way today right here in America. We could turn this whole thing around if we truly repented. If the nation would truly repent, God would hear us. And it's no different with Russia. It's no different with any nation. If they would do what Nineveh did, the king, from the king down, there was repentance. They believed God. And then I said that Jonah went into Nineveh with attitude. He went in and he preached 8 words to Nineveh. Now some people say, well, he might have preached more. He may have, but the Bible's got 8 words here that he preached. So I'm just going by that. But he had that little attitude, and what he did was he's saying, okay, Lord, I'm going. I'm going to do that in which I vowed, but I'm going to do it my way. See, that was that attitude. How many times today do we still do the same things? Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it my way. See, that's that pride that gets involved. Yeah. And that's the way Jonah goes into Nineveh. And he cries against it. He preached what God told him to preach. Nineveh's going to be destroyed in 40 days. This is what upset Jonah, because when we move into the next part, we're going to see where Jonah was upset, which is hard to believe. It'd be the same thing as you and I going out knocking doors and soul winning or preaching the gospel here or anywhere else. And then when people get saved, we get mad. That's what Jonah did. He went in there, he preached, and from the king down, they believed God and they repented, covered themselves in sackcloth and sat in ashes. The king ordered it that no man or beast, not even a chicken, could get water. Nobody was going to eat food or drink water. He was serious. He believed God. And that's what upset Jonah. Because see, Jonah, being sin-cursed just like we are, Jonah didn't want these people to have salvation. Now, you remember when we read back in the story, when Jonah repented and God spit him out of the whale's belly, Jonah was happy. He was glad that God had repented from that and allowed him to get out of that belly and get back on with his life. He was all happy about that. Do you remember when you first got saved? Were you happy? Folks, I still remember the day I got saved. And I'm still happy that I'm saved. Amen? But see, Jonah was happy about his salvation, but he didn't want you to have it. And that's what he... And think about something. We can go all the way back to Abraham, can't we? We go back to the Jews. How about in the day of Paul? When Paul and the disciples, when they were trying to spread the gospel, what was the issue? What was the problem? The Jews didn't want the Gentiles to have salvation. We didn't deserve it. That's the same attitude that Jonah's got right here. Nothing's changed. It's the same attitude. Jonah's got, I got mine, but he wants to see you go to hell. Because you're a heathen, you're wicked, you're evil, you're sin-cursed. That's his attitude. Well, folks, today, many of us have that same attitude and don't even realize it. When you sit on your hands and you zip your lip and you don't say anything to anybody, you're playing Jonah. Because the Great Commission has ordered you and I to spread the gospel into the land, all across the world. So when we don't do that, then we're being disobedient. And why is it that we're too proud to share the gospel? Are we ashamed of Christ? Think about that. Why is it that when you see a lost person, you're ashamed to tell them about Jesus? Are you afraid that they're going to say something to you? You think they're going to look down on you? I'm a child of the King. I don't care how they look at me. Amen. I'm not ashamed to tell anybody about Jesus. I'm not ashamed to tell anybody about my God. He's my God. He's my Jesus. Amen. Folks, when we see a lost person, we should have a burden in our heart for these people not to go to hell. That's why I love this book so much. It teaches you, look, this is you. Instead of putting Jonah, put Joanne. Put Bobby or George or John, because this is you. This is a picture of you and I right here in this book. This is the way we live our lives as on pretty much on a day-to-day basis. Because every time, anywhere we go and we see lost people and we totally ignore it like it doesn't matter, then we're playing Jonah. I've got mine. I'm not worried about them. Folks, we shouldn't be that way. Just like when we were singing in here this morning, we should have been on fire for God. We should be happy to lift our voices to God. Amen. We're singing. We're not singing to please one another. We're singing praises to our Lord. And we should be happy to do that. So when we come in here and it sounds like whispering, you know, it kind of bothers me a little bit, because I'm like, wait a minute, we're supposed to be Christians. Now, if we had 15 lost people that was just looking in on the website there and they're just peeking in and they see us, do you think they're going to be encouraged to come to church next Sunday? Think about that. You know what they're going to say as a lost person? See, lost people's not going to think the way we think, even though we don't think a whole lot better sometimes. A lost person is going to look at that and say, no, thank you. I don't need that. What do I need that for? You know, I said just a few moments ago that we're on the doorstep of the rapture taking place. The trumpet could sound at any moment. We ought to be excited. Amen. You know, and then people say, well, I've heard that all my life. Yes, you have. I have too. But we've never been in this moment. When you look at everything that's taking place, we've never been at this time and at this moment that we're in today. It never fit. It fits today. It could literally happen today before we get out of here. But folks, we need to get a different attitude. We need to get rid of the same attitude that Jonah's got. Look over at chapter 3. I'm going to start. I know we stopped about verse 10. I want to back up just a little bit. Let's go back to, say, verse 5 in chapter 3. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yet let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce wrath that we perish not? That's about where we stopped. And let's start in verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now understand something. God did not sin. God's not repenting because he sinned. To repent means to turn from. God is turning from that in which the evil talking about destroying Nineveh. That was the message that he sent, that he was going to destroy Nineveh unless they repented. Well, they have repented. They're showing remorse. They're humbling themselves. So God has said, well, I'm not going to destroy that city. He did not sin. There's no sin in God. So don't read that and say, oh, look at there. God must have sinned, because that's not what happened. Verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled into Tarsh, for I knew thou art a gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. That right there is why Jonah ran. So he knew that God would turn from it. He knew that God wouldn't destroy them if they repented. You understand, it's the same for us today. No matter how low we get, God will pull you up if you repent. And in verse 3 it says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Boy, there's some more of that honoriness, isn't it? You know, he's having pity on himself, but he didn't have any pity on those people of Nineveh. He didn't care about them. Then in verse 4, then said the Lord, dost thou will to be angry? Folks, when we look at the situation that took place right here, you understand that by Jonah is mad at God because God showed grace and mercy on Nineveh. That's the same thing as if somebody comes down the aisle this morning and gives their life right here at this altar and gives their life to Christ. It'd be the same thing as me being angry because that person got saved. Now, you understand, by doing that, you're judging God. That's what Jonah did. Jonah was judging God. He was angry at God. Who are we to judge God? You know, we forget, just like Jonah. Jonah's forgotten about being spit out of the belly of that whale. Just that quick. Just so fast. And that's the same way we are. We get saved. We're happy that God forgave us. No matter how wicked we are, no matter what we've done, because it doesn't matter your sin, God will forgive it. But how quick we forget that. Folks, we don't need the Christian police. Okay? And there's too many of us want to play the Christian police. Well, that person wore shorts. Do you see how short her dress was? You see how low her top was? Can I give you a little hint? It's none of your business. It's just that simple. You worry about what you wear. You take care of you, and you let them take care of themselves. And it's between them and God. God's not going to punish you for what they wore, okay? But that's the Christian police. That's that attitude. We all get it up here and we get that attitude. Once we get saved, all of a sudden we're better. No, we're blessed. We have God's grace. We're a sinner saved by grace. We're just as guilty as that lost person. And we have to remember that. We don't ever want to lose that. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made he a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd, but God prepared a worm. When the morning arose the next day, and he smote it in the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Folks, now you get a picture. Get a picture of that. Now Jonah, He done run out of town. He's mad as a hornet. He run out of town. He run up on the side of a hill and threw up a plastic bag or something over his head to keep some of the sun off of him. And he's sitting up there like a 4-year-old, pouting. Because that's what he's doing. He's sitting on the side of the hill and he's looking down on the city, and he's still, in his mind, he's still saying, maybe the Lord's going to destroy this place. He's still hoping. He's got hope. He's not giving up. Isn't that a sad situation? But folks, we do the same thing. We do the same thing. How many of us have done that with Nancy Pelosi? You see what I'm saying? That's how easy it is for us to get off track. And it came to pass when the sun arose. Well, I read that. Verse 9. And God said to Jonah, "Dost thou will to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do will to be angry, even unto death." Now that's being, that right there is being cantankerous, stubborn, proud. That's just downright stupid. But folks, sometimes we're like that. We make no sense of anything around us. And that's what Jonah's doing. "Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. Should I not spare Nineveh, the great city, where more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" And what God was telling Jonah right here is that you had pity on a gourd. Think about that. A plant. A plant. That he didn't feed it. He didn't plant it. He didn't water it. Basically a weed. Came up overnight and gave him some shelter. God grew it. God destroyed it. And Jonah's mad about it. He's all upset. And he had nothing to do with any of it. He's all upset. But he's not upset about wanting to destroy those thousands of people that's in Nineveh. Folks, that's a rotten heart, especially for a saved person. But see, we can learn from this. We can take this right here. We don't have to be like Jonah. We don't need to be sitting up on the side of the hill today looking down on Russia with that same attitude. We need to have the attitude of prayer and forgiveness. Now, I know what they're doing is wrong. Killing babies in our country is wrong. Making people take shots is wrong. All these things are wrong. But what are we going to do about it? We should be in a mode of prayer. We should be loving our God, thanking him for the situation that we are in. Amen. And we should be asking prayer and asking God's blessing upon these people. Praying that God would touch their heart. Our president, you know what he needs? He needs somebody to knock on that door and tell him about Jesus. And then he needs to repent. See, that's what would change his world, which makes it better for us. But folks, when we sit back on our hands and do nothing and say nothing, then we're having the same attitude that Jonah had. And we can go through all these things, same things, and we do it on a daily basis, but it's not I. That's the same attitude Jonah was having. Jonah, in his mind, is doing right. He didn't think he's doing wrong. Even after being in the whale's belly, he forgot so quickly. And folks, we're the same way. God can be so good to us. So good. And then we forget just like that. We forget just how good he was. You should remember every morning how you were before you got saved. You know, even if you think you were a good person before you got saved, you were on your way to hell. And today you're not. That is a blessing. And that's the attitude that we need to carry every day through our lives. So take the lessons out of this book and apply them to your lives so that we don't live the life of Jonah. Amen. I'm out of time this morning. My brother, what is our Sunday school count? 7:25. That's not too bad for a spring morning. Well, we'll take about a 10-minute break and we'll come back for the preaching service.